Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. We do so even as we go through the clouds of confusion that are thrown before us by the culture. And one thing that is perhaps more confusing than any other is the issue of sexuality. We have with us a guest who has experienced this confusion firsthand. His testimony is dramatic. It's very powerful. So hold on to your seats as we introduce to you David Arthur. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be here.
Indeed, our culture has a lot of confusion, and anyone listening now is going to come out. There will be all opinions to the sides of a story, but let's hear your story a little bit. How did you, first of all, you know, kind of get involved in the sexual confusion? Tell us a little bit about your journey, David.
You know, I think what some of the contributing factors were the fact that my father committed suicide just before I was born, so I grew up without a dad in the picture, and also that I was molested as a child numerous times by different people.
Now, before you go on, I know you're going to unfold this, and we're going to hear that you had confusion sexually in your own personal experience. Would you say that everyone who is, let's say, transgender or gay or lesbian or bisexual, that they've had abuse and this kind of thing?
I would say, just from my own experience in ministry and in counsel, that a very high percentage, we're talking over 90%, experienced.
So the ones who go with this wonderful testimonies all out to the world, my dad was perfect, my mom was perfect, and they're out there, is what we're saying.
Right.
Okay, we understand that.
Yes.
But this is your story, and I want to say, in general, from years of reading, I see the statistics kind of coming around what you're saying, though many don't want to talk about those statistics.
Right.
So you had a kind of a rough time growing up, very rough.
Right. You know, I kind of associated the attention, albeit negative attention, with love. And so as I grew up, you know, my childhood didn't consist of dreams and thoughts of becoming a doctor or a lawyer or a policeman. My childhood consisted of me cutting school to go hang out in public bathrooms or at bus stops, looking or waiting for some dirty old man to come along and give me that negative attention, give me some attention, you know, and that was my childhood. Very quickly.
And so I'll just, now we'll just acknowledge the obvious, that we're all uniquely made. Everyone listening, those whose stories track somewhat with yours, each story is unique.
Right.
And so we're not making some kind of sound teaching out of your experience, but your experience is important for us to know you as we unfold this interview and you give us some insights from what you've learned. Keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. This is, you know, everything that I have experienced. It's what God allowed me to go through. He allowed everything to happen the way it happened so that I could attain the powerful tool that I have right now for such a time as this. And, you know, before, in my preteens, I started drugs and alcohol. By the age of 13, I had overdosed on pills. By the age of 14, I was a runaway. I was confused. I realized that the more feminine I acted, the more attention I got. And so then I thought I was supposed to be a woman, a girl. So by the age of 14, I was a runaway. I was on female hormones. I was dressing like a girl. I was a prostitute. And I was also HIV positive at 14. And with that mind frame, with that knowledge of what life meant to me, it was just a downward spiral, totally and completely. There was no, you know, well, I'm going to become this and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to college. There was never even a thought of that. It never even crossed my mind as being, it wasn't my normal. My normal was engaging in sexual activity my entire childhood. I associated all of it with the love of the father that wasn't in my life. And that's what I did all of my life. I sought the love of a father.
And can I say this, that while we know that at one point there were teachings that came out that said, you know, homosexuality is caused all the time by, you know, the missing father love and image. And we know that's not the case, but it's often involved. It's often part of the complicated puzzle of what shapes us at young ages. We know there could be some genetic factors. There's no evidence that it's genetically based, but there could be some factors involved and hormonal and different things. But the bottom line is, you and I are bringing a message as we go back and forth on this about love. The love of God.
Yes.
And when we don't know the love of our own fathers, it affects us in a lot of ways. I read a book recently that showed that about 90% of atheists didn't have a loving father. You know, I mean, it can hit us in all kinds of ways, and it comes out in all kinds of ways.
Yeah. So it's expressed in many different forms of sin, of activity and behavior.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was in and out of jail, in and out of prison. You know, I was what they called recruited into the LGBT movement. And I know that they call it recruited because I became a recruiter. And then once I was older, I seen the same things going on. How I was lured in is the same way that I lured other young men in. Hmm. And the same way I was watching others be lured in. And so while I saw this is just a normalcy in that movement, in that world, because everybody is searching for love and peace and joy and rest for a father or an authoritative figure in their life that will show them that love and that joy and give them that peace. And the whole time that we're seeking this, we're not finding it. We're not finding it in the alleyways, in the back seats of the cars, in the bottles, in the bars. We're not finding it in the rest stops, in the bookstores and the adult video stores. We're not finding it there. But these are all the places that we're looking for it. And, you know, we're looking for it in the hotel rooms. And whether it be a male and a female or a male and a male, this is what we're seeking and this is what we're all looking for. And we're not finding it. And so when we don't find it or realize that we're not finding it, we move on to the next one to see if that's where we're going to find it. And it becomes a cycle, you know. And so by the time I was in my 30s, I had intentionally, purposely infected so many people with HIV because of my own selfish behaviors of wanting to find love and peace and joy and not caring about anybody else in the process. And this isn't something that I handled well. I handle it very well now because Jesus Christ, his blood has washed me clean.
So you were basically experiencing a transgender lifestyle?
I lived as transgender for many, many years. I was on the female hormones from the time I was 14 till I was in my 20s. My second time in prison, I had a correctional officer say, "Come here." And I walked up to him, and here I was, 30-something-year-old man, in a man's prison. A man, I had breasts, and I looked very feminine, and I acted very feminine. And believe it or not, at one time, I even sounded very feminine. Mm-hmm. But this correctional officer said to me, he said, "Do you know God did not create you to be this way?" And I was very arrogant and very prideful. And I said, "Of course he did. Look at me. I do this well." And he said, "Oh, no, God didn't create you to be this way." He said, And since I can, I'm going to tell you this every day. Hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it." So I said, "Okay." And he did. He told me every single day. Every day he would, if he didn't work in my dorm, he would have the officers send me to his dorm. And when I walked in, he would say, "God didn't create you to be this way. Now go back to your dorm." And you know what? It only took me maybe 2 or 3 weeks of this to start seeking him on the compound, to start looking for him, because I wanted to talk to him. Hmm. Because for the first time in my entire life, there was a man in my life that stood before me that I knew truly and purely loved me.
Hmm.
And he wanted nothing from me.
That's rather striking. What can I say? Two things about the average Christian today, and this is not meant to be judgmental, but just a little bit of discernment. One is we tend to point judgmentally at, let's say, a gay or a transgender, the heterosexuals do, as though they're the sinners. That's not loving.
Right.
We all have sin. And it brings it a second obvious point, is that the sin of sexuality is rampant. Above all, for the heterosexuals, simply because they comprise, you know, 95 plus percent, probably 98% of the population.
Right.
And the sin is rampant. about half of pastors and maybe 80% of those who are not pastors, I know it's well around 70%, are hooked to pornography. I mean, so who are we to judge others? We got to first clean up our own acts. So,
right.
So I just want to say, thank God for those who are loving enough to both live truthfully, even when it's difficult, because it's hard for all of us to live in holiness, to follow God's standards. And second, to speak the truth in love. It takes love to be bold enough to speak the truth.
It does.
And that's what this man was doing for you.
It does. And he was the first one in my entire life, the first man, I should say, in my entire life that I knew loved me. He didn't want to use me, abuse me, profit off me, kick me while I was down, hurt me, nothing. He just wanted to love me. And he wanted me to know that he loved me so much that he had to share this truth with me. And he would tell me stories that were in the Bible, and he would tell me all types and compare me to characters in the Bible. And I would look at him and say, I couldn't be nobody in the Bible. Look at me. You know, and he said, and he asked me one day, and he says, do you know the way you're living is wrong, or do you think that the way you're living is right? Do you really believe that God created you this way? Because I had told him one time that God created me this way. And I looked at him and I said, do I really believe it? No. I said, it's all I have to hold on to right now.
David, before you go on, and this is out of love, people may not get it because we're in a culture that is hypersensitive to anything that goes against these new mores around sexuality that have been building for a generation, but now have swept like a tsunami over our culture.
Yes.
So when it comes to a youth who is sensing, hey, maybe I don't know where I lie here, and they end up going the other way, and they want to be transgender and get the hormones, get the drugs. There's a lot of research out there that says this is not such a good thing. It's not fair to the young person.
It's not.
And this kind of research is largely being hidden, but some of it's obvious, it's common sense, but a lot of it is very well documented scientifically, what happens both psychologically and physiologically when we don't. You pick it up from there. What are some of your thoughts briefly before we go on?
What comes to mind automatically is the fact that by 2008, I had full-fledged osteoporosis. Mm. I was unable to stand up straight. I couldn't walk without a walker. And that was due to all of the female hormones, you know, as well as all the trauma that I put my body through. I've had what they call, on the street, they do it. They call it free-floating silicone injected into my face and into my body. And this stuff is not always industrial silicone. It's not what what people think it is. I've seen many cases where people were injected with Crisco or some other type of substance, and they have no idea, and it can be cancer-causing. There's so many health issues that come about, as well as psychological. Psychologically, when you start all of these hormones and you go through so many emotional, you're just unstable emotionally. Oh, man, there's...
Yeah, to our listeners, Dave is just trying to pull himself together here. But I imagine you're thinking about all the youth right now who are so confused.
I think about the cover of National Geographic, January's edition, with a little boy dressed like a little girl, body positioned very, very 1970s pornographic type setting. I think about the new cover girl, who is a 15-year-old boy. And I think about when I look at their eyes and I see how dark and how lost they are. And I know how dark and how lost I was. And I truly believed the lie. I truly believed the lie. And I just want people to know that it's not called deception because we know that we're being deceived. It's called deception because we don't know we're being deceived.
Yes. Yeah, and you can sincerely believe something and be sincerely wrong. That's the nature of deception.
Absolutely. I would have physically or verbally attacked you just to prove to you how happy I was and how content I was.
Right.
And that doesn't even go together.
Can I say there's the world of make-believe that runs around the circles today of many who never really grow up. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. The generation now that has a hard time finding jobs is our country is disintegrating morally and spiritually, and perhaps economically we're going to get hit really hard if we don't wake up. This country that's making it hard for our youth to find jobs has got them on computer games and doing all kinds of things, and they're not growing up. And when we decide it's all about what makes me comfortable right now instead of facing the reality of life, as most of the world does, we can start thinking, David, that's your opinion, I got mine, and there's no way to judge between the two. But yes, there is a way.
There is.
Reality is in things like not just physiology, but in the deep inner core of who we are as a people. And what this does, all this confusion, I'm not talking now about just your story and or another person's story. It's the whole arena of sexual confusion is bringing destruction to the family unit, to marriage, and to children now who don't know who they are. So keep your story going here.
So with all the children that are being sexualized in today's world, and for all the confusion, and, you know, when I can see hatred, confusion, and anger, I know that God is none of those things, that God is not a God of confusion. And I know the freedom. I know that there is freedom from being homosexual, from being transgender. And I've had many of them reach out and say, well, how am I going to become heterosexual? Well, you don't have to become anything, because God created you as heterosexual. There's only one orientation, and that's heterosexuality. And it's defined from the very beginning of God's word as one male and one female. We have this thing now in this world where we can't judge people, and that's not judging somebody. That's relaying a message. God has already judged that, as well as we can't offend people. Well, how about we start turning that around and we say, I'm not offending you, I'm defending you against the lies of the devil. Because that's what we're doing. That's what needed to happen with me. If my correctional officer didn't come to me and say, if he didn't love me enough to tell me the truth and offend me, I would not only have died spiritually by now, but I would have died physically. Because by 2009, I was on my deathbed with full-blown AIDS, with infections in my brain, in my blood. I had no immune system. The virus had taken over my body, full-fledged osteoporosis. The infections that were in my body were fighting to get out by way of boils all over my body. And when the doctor sent me home to die and said, you don't even have to take the medication anymore because there is no hope, that's when I laid in my deathbed and I knew two things. I knew that I was afraid to die, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell. Because believe me, when you end up on your deathbed, you know the truth. And you know where you're going.
Reality comes home.
It does. And it does. And clarity, so clear. It's so crystal clear. And I did not want to go to hell. And so I picked up the word of God. And the very first verse that I was led to was Romans 1:27. And it told me that men burning in lust for one another, giving up the natural use of the woman. And so that verse, that's the most powerful verse in Scripture to me. It spoke multitudes to me, because it told me that not only was I living sinfully, but I was living unnaturally in direct opposition to God's very intent for creating me.
Yeah, no, we know that there are other interpretations of that verse, but I've studied these for years, and the alternate interpretations don't hold up to simple and sound exegesis of Scripture. What I'm trying to say is read the Bible as a whole. Read it with the eyes of simplicity. Read what it's saying. You'll find the same answer that you find if you go and spend 20 years in a depth of scholarship reading all the literature out there. It's very simple what it's saying. And you read it correctly, I believe.
That was all it took for me. I just dove into the word. And so as family and friends were visiting and calling and talking to me and chatting with me online, and because they all wanted to see me before I died, I started telling them, don't do this to anybody else. Don't love them to death. Don't love them so much that you love them literally to hell. Don't condone and don't accept this sin as a lifestyle, because it's not a lifestyle, it's a death style. As I reached out to them, you know, a lot of people, they just thought I was dying and I was crazy. I spent weeks repenting and giving everything to this God that I knew he already knew everything, but I wanted to give it to him just as his word was giving me such detailed and precise instruction. I wanted to give it all to him. I remember I woke up one morning, and that was my moment of grace. I was in pain from the inside of my body, from my bones to the outside of my body, where the boils were. I was in so much pain that all the pain pills I was taking didn't even touch the pain. But I had joy in my heart. I had peace, and I knew what love was. And for the first time in my life, I knew what rest meant. And I cried out to the Lord, because I knew at that moment I was no longer afraid to die. And I felt that I wasn't going to go to hell. And so I cried out to God and I said, I'm ready. Please take me. I am a man with breasts. I don't want to live like this. I'm in so much pain. I don't want to exist here any longer. Please take me. And whether I end up in heaven or hell through my death, please, I just want you to be glorified. Wow. Let somebody who I've spoken to in the last few weeks through my death come to you. And ultimately, he answered that request, that prayer. He honored that because David died and was reborn. And now through my death, he will be glorified because I can stop and speak. Just on this trip, I stopped at a truck stop early morning to get gas. And there was a man standing outside the truck stop who was obviously very homosexual. And I said, good morning. And he said, good morning. And so I was just going to walk into the store and I said, no, I'm not going to be one of them. I'm going to stop and I'm going to let him know that I know what he's doing. And I did. I started talking to him. We just started chatting about the weather and the trip. And I said, I know what you're doing. And he said, I'm just hanging out. And I said, yeah, I know. I used to hang out in these truck stops as well. And he looked at me and I just told him about me. I told him who I was. I told him my experiences. And he looked at me and he said, I feel like you know me. He said, I feel like you just told me my life story. And how can I know more? And we talked and we exchanged some information. And he knows that there's more. He knows that I know that everything that he was seeking and he's searching for and he's looking for, the love and the peace and the affirmation and confirmation of people and places and things and where he's looking for it at. And through all of that, he knows that he's not going to find it. Because I've already been there and I've already done that and I didn't find it. And it's only found in one place. It's only found in Jesus Christ. That's the only place that you will find the love and the peace and the joy and the rest that you're seeking and that you desire.
So, David, when you talked about your dying and coming to life, that was spiritual, wasn't it?
Very.
You died to yourself and found life in Christ. What happened to your body?
Oh, within months, I was getting up out of the bed. Well, actually, within weeks, I was getting up out of the bed and walking around without the walker, just with a cane. And I was standing up straight and everyone's looking around. And they were just waiting for me to drop. You know, they're thinking this is his last burst of energy. He's gone any minute. Didn't happen. God had a plan. And I remember getting my blood work done and the nurse practitioner, who was a Christian, and she had called me and says, oh, I'd like you to come into the office and we can talk about your results. And so I went in and she told me, she says, David, the doctor doesn't want to talk to you because he can't give you a scientific explanation. She says, but we've never seen numbers, a viral load as high as yours in this office. She says, and we've never even heard of a viral load as high as yours that actually survived. She says, but what I'm going ready to tell you is unheard of. She said, you've went from such an extremely high viral load to being undetectable. I looked at her and I said, well, that's God. And she said, you're darn skippy, that's God. And so we prayed. And then from there, it was just nothing but improvement. About 2 months later, I had moved to Maine and I had my bone density test done. And I went into the doctor's office and she said, well, David, there's been a big mistake. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. Am I not undetectable? What's wrong? And she said, oh, no. She's like, you're still undetectable and all of that is fine. She says, but there's no way you could have ever had osteoporosis. She said, these tests must have been mixed up with yours. They have to be somebody else's tests. And I was like, all of them? You know, there's like over a dozen tests there that showed my bone density almost gone. And she said, yeah, all of them, because your bone density is better than that of a man your age should be. And wow. I looked at her and I said, well, that's God. And she said, oh, no, this is just there's been a mistake. And I said, well, no, this is all God. You know, I said, God has touched me. He has chosen me. And he has not only chosen me, but he's healed me. He's qualified me, and he's lifted me up for a time such as this. I said, and that's all I'm going to do from this point on is press forward for him. Everything that I do must and has to glorify him.
David, some are listening saying, praise God, this is what we believe, and they're celebrating. There's some of you listening now who are saying, this is crazy. This guy's wacko. It can't be true. I want you to carry this further, dear friend. You can go to his website called I Belong Amen Ministries. Is that the right place to
yes.
find your website?
Yeah, the website is www.ibelongamen.com.
Okay.
And on Facebook, they just have to look up I Belong Amen Ministries.
And you'll see pictures of David through the years when he very much looked like a woman. And he has a book out that tells a story more fully called Refined, Life Through Homosexuality and Transgenderism and Beyond. And you can Google and find that on the internet as
yes,
well.
Yes, it's available Amazon. On Amazon and on Kindle.
So, David, thank you for being with us.
And thank you for having me.
To all who've listened, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day.
God bless.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.